That isn't so. I don't care how hard they are. God's a big hammer. And yes. So praise the Lord, Linda. We're so happy, excited for you. Well, folks, this coming Sunday is Commitment Day. You know, we have been talking about our Catch the Vision 2 campaign, and we've been getting information out. But my message Sunday morning is that there comes a time when you quit talking and you do something. Sunday morning is do something day. All right? So hopefully everybody will have, we've sent a brochure out. How many have already gotten them? Have you already gotten the brochures? We've mailed them out. You should get them at least by tomorrow. And there'll be a card in there. There's a folder, and then you can tear the card out. But there's going to be an opportunity for you to make your commitment. And so I trust that God has been giving you guidance in your heart. And if you're like some of us, the Lord has probably changed that several times. You would write something down and kind of say, "Is that okay?" And so, you know, so that's probably been going on in all of our lives. But hopefully by Sunday morning, you will get that answer. Will be our first fruits offering. And what that means is that is the first offering that we will give. June the 1st is when that gets started, all right? See how you had to put this on? Yeah. Feel like a horse putting on one of those collars. June the 1st is when it all starts. And we are, on that day, we will give our first fruits offering. Now, what that means is that the first of your gifts over the next 3 years, and some are going to give we're praying for a big offering that day. Some will give a large portion of it, or some might even be able to give their whole three-year commitment on that Sunday. But whatever you're able to do. When we did this 10 years ago, we had a $229,000 offering on a first fruits offering. I'm praying that we'll see that record broken this coming Sunday. I'm asking God to give us more than $229,000. So you just pray about what you can do. That's for June the 1st, that offering on June the 1st. Our goal in Catch the Vision 2 is $1.5 million. Now, I'm going to tell you now, I don't see it. I don't see it, that capability. I do not see it in our church. I've said that from day one. Last time, I did not see nearly what God gave, and I don't see it this time. But I do know that God is God. Amen. And I know that we have serve a big God, and the Bible teaches us that we're to ask for some big things. So we've given out all the information. We know what it's all about. So I'm just asking you to really pray with me this week for not only God's guidance in your life, but for God to bless all of our congregation and lead our people, and to come Sunday morning and make that commitment that He would have us to make. Sunday night, we're going to come back and celebrate. We're going to have an event out in the Family Life Center, and we're going to have, we're going to have, hamburgers and hot dogs and desserts, and we're going to just have a fun event out there in the Family Life Center. We're going to walk over. Yeah, I got cakes, and then ice cream, all of that. We're going to walk over into the new facility, and I want to share with you how things are going to be there, how it's all laid out, and everything's got its little purpose. We'll get to see that. We've got a video that we want to share with you of some testimonials. So all of that will be Sunday night, okay, this Sunday night. So what's happening is this Sunday morning is Commitment Sunday. Sunday night we're going to have a fellowship event. And then June the 1st is when it all starts. That's when we come bring our checkbook, and we get started on it on June the 1st. All right? Did I explain all of that tonight? Everybody understand how we're doing? So praise the Lord for that. Looking forward to it, to that taking place. All right, everybody got your Bible study sheets. And open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, fasting is abstaining from something for a specific period of time. Now, normally we think of fasting from food or drink, and that certainly is a major part of fasting, but it's not the only part of fasting. Sometimes we fast from other things for a specific period of time. Now, biblical fasting is always for a spiritual purpose. There are fasts that are for health purposes, and the medical profession realizes and sees the importance of this. It's also a way to seek God by denying the physical so that we can focus on spiritual things. It's a time when we push other things aside that we might just really concentrate on getting close to God. Fasting and praying always goes together in Scripture. And so we want to look at tonight what is fasting. We know that it is something that is for us because Jesus did it, and we're taught to do that. So what is fasting? Well, I want you to notice there are three different kinds that are mentioned in the Bible. So turn to Matthew chapter 4. Here is where Jesus is led by the devil into the wilderness. And the Bible tells us that look at what it says, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward ahungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, from this we learn, number one, that a normal fast is where there is no food, only liquids, for a specific or specified period of time. That is the normal fast. Most people that fast, there would be no food, but there would only be liquids that they might drink, and they might do that for a specific period of time. For example, turn to Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20. We said number one, a normal fast is no food, only liquids, for a specific period of time. All right? Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20 and look at verse 26. Judges 20, verse 26. Then all the children of Israel and all of the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now from this we learn that there are one day fast. All right? We said a normal fast is no food, only liquids for a specific period of time. There are examples where folks fasted for one day. We're challenging all of our congregation to do at least a one-day fast this week or a period of 24 hours where there is no food that is taken. All right? Turn to Acts chapter 9. Book of Acts chapter 9. Fasting is abstaining from something for a specific period of time, denying yourself that you might grow stronger spiritually. One of the great benefits of fasting is that it keeps your body, your flesh, from being in charge. Your body is spoiled. Give me. And whatever your body wants, it demands. But when you're able to say to your flesh, you ain't getting it. It's not going to happen. And your flesh cries out, I want food. And you say, it's not happening. You're not going to do it. There is a tremendous strength and power that we tap into when we're able to be in control of our flesh. And so fasting helps us to keep our flesh under control. But look at Acts chapter 9 and look at verse 9. After the Apostle Paul had experienced this mighty conversion on the road to Damascus, look at verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight and neither did eat nor drink. So here is a example of a three-day fast in Scripture. We said fasting is when you do not take food or only liquids for a specific period of time. That is a normal fast. There are examples in the Bible of one-day fast. Here's an example of a three-day fast where Paul took no food nor water for 3 days. Turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, Moses is on the mount with the Lord, and God is speaking to his heart and revealing so many things to him. But look what it says in Exodus 34 and verse 28. Verse 20, Exodus 34 and verse 28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. So notice that this was a 40-day fast where Moses was miraculously preserved because he also drank no water for this 40-day period. All right? So these are examples of what we call the normal fast. All right? Number two, turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. We said the normal feast is no food, only liquids for a specified period of time. There are one-day fast examples. There are three-day fasts. There are several examples in the Bible of a 40-day fast. Most of those would include water. But in this case, with Moses, there was no water. God preserved him. But the book of Daniel, turn there to chapter 10. Daniel Daniel chapter 10. Now look at verse 3. Daniel 3. Daniel 10, verse 3. He says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, notice from this we learn, number 2, a partial feast is abstaining from certain foods for a specified time. A partial feast. Oftentimes these are very helpful if you have some kind of a health disorder. Sometimes a partial fast might be something that you would feel led to do or participate in. A partial fast is helpful if you have a health disorder. It is abstaining from certain foods for a specified time. All right? And then a passage of Scripture that we are familiar with because we have, through Catch the Vision and preceding that, the book of Esther. Turn to Esther chapter 4. We remember that Esther was chosen to be queen at a time when the Jews had been given a death order. God placed her there for that special time. And so she was challenged to go before the king and plead for the people, but to do so unless the king sent for you could mean that you would be put to death. So she was taking her life in her own hands when she decided to go at the urging of Mordecai. And so she makes that decision, but before she does, she calls for a fast. Look at verse 16. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So from this we learn, number 3, an absolute fast is abstaining from everything, including water. And this was used in extreme conditions. An absolute fast is abstaining from everything, including water. And this is used in Scripture in extreme conditions. Okay? So what is fasting? 3 kinds: normal fasting, partial fasting, and absolute fasting we see in Scripture. Now, number 2, what is the purpose of fasting? Why do we do that? Why would we do that? What is the purpose? I want to give you 9 purposes in Scripture. We from a general perspective, it's to help us draw closer to God. It's to help us to seek God. It's to help us to be able to draw our hearts together with God. One might say it is a heightened or more intense form of our prayer. But the Bible gives us some 9 different specific reasons or purposes in fasting. So let's look at them. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah chapter 58, God is unhappy with the spirituality of His people. Not that they were not doing spiritual things or involved in spiritual activity, because they were. But at the same time, He realized that in their heart, they were a long way from Him. And they were not doing the things that they really needed to do. And so he questioned their fast, the purpose of their fast, and that their fast really wasn't for the reasons that it should have been. And so look at what he says in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now I want you to notice several things about the fast. Notice number one, from this we learn that fasting and prayer together bring freedom from addictions. Fasting and prayer together brings freedom from addictions. He says here that they are, in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness? You know, it's a freedom from addiction is when you are loosed from some things. When you are loosed from that addiction to pornography. When you're loosed from cussing, drinking alcohol, from smoking, from having impure thoughts, so many different addictions that we get drawn into. Fasting and prayer brings freedom from those addictions. All right? So number one, fasting and prayer together brings freedom from addictions. If you've got something that you just can't break from, then the Bible would encourage you to pray and fast and ask God to give you deliverance from this addiction, to set you free. All right? Number two, fasting and prayer solves problems. Solves problems. He says here, is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo heavy burdens? Do you have a burden? Then the Bible tells us that fasting and prayer solves those heavy burdens. Maybe it's a financial burden. Maybe it's a marriage difficulty. Maybe it's a job disorder. Maybe there's some hopeless situation that you seem to be facing. Then the Bible teaches us that fasting and prayer is a method that God uses in our life to solve problems. All right, number three. Fasting and prayer is for revival and salvation of others. Fasting and prayer is for revival and for salvation of others. Look at what he says. Is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free? You know, when we are able to let the oppressed go free, whenever we are to experience revival, whenever we see salvation, one of the tools that God gives us to affect that is by praying and by fasting. All right? You see that? Then notice number four. I said that number one, fasting and prayer together brings freedom from addictions. Number two, fasting and prayer solves problems. Number three, fasting and prayer is for revival and salvation of others. And number four, fasting and prayer conquers mental and emotional problems. Fasting and prayer conquers mental and emotional problems. Look at what he says. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? He's talking about the stress, the burnout, the things that cause people to just get distressed and just give up. Fasting and prayer gives a new hope and a new light and a new power and a new strength and a new awareness of God's presence in our life. You know, when you begin to feel you're in it alone, that's where a lot of people get down to the point of giving up. And when we become aware of God's in that yoke with us, that He is there as well, and there is nothing the Scripture teaches us that helps that awareness, like fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer conquers mental and emotional problems. All right? Look at verse 7. He tells us, number 5, that fasting and prayer helps to meet the physical needs of others. Fasting and prayer helps to meet the physical needs of others. Look at how he says it. He says, is it not, talking about the fast that God has chosen, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? What's he saying? He says that as we fast and pray, God is going to make us sensitive to the needs of others. Now, is everybody, are you following me on this tonight? Are you listening to me? You're not going to fast and pray, not the fast that God has chosen. Now, remember, he was rebuking them. They were fasting, but their fasting was not about seeking God. And God was rebuking them. Because if you've got the kind of fast that God wants you to have, if you're praying the way God wants you to pray, you're going to get a sensitivity to other people's needs. Amen? You know, you can't pray, well, I tell you what, man, I've been talking to the Lord a lot lately. Why, you stay drunk, skip church, don't read your Bible, don't tell others about Christ. Don't, you know, if you're really reading your Bible and praying, what's God saying to you about that? Amen? How many of you, when you read your Bible, God speaks to your heart about things? How many of you, when you pray, you feel some guilt about the wrong you're doing? Do you do that? So if you're praying, and if you're fasting, and there's not a stirring in your soul to correct the wrong and increase the right, it's not the fast that God has chosen. But if you are doing the fast that God has for us, it's going to open your eyes to others' needs. He said, is it not to deal thy bread? Whose bread? Your bread. It's going to cause you to be less selfish. It's going to cause you to have a bigger vision. It's going to cause you to see beyond your thing. When you fast and when you pray, God leads you outside you. He's going to open your heart to what God has for you. So fasting and prayer helps to meet the physical needs of others. Deal means to share here. When he says, is it not to deal thy bread? Or is it not to share thy bread? It means to cut back on yourself. It means to give to others. That's what fasting and prayer does in your life. Number 6, fasting and prayer brings cleaner or clearer insight into making decisions. Fasting and prayer gives you a clearer insight into making decisions. He says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. God's light. God's going to shed light on the decision-making process in your life. You're trying to make a major decision about a job. Fasting and prayer, God says, will give light on that decision. If you need a decision in your dating process, if you need a decision in the ministry, if you need a decision about where you're going or a move that you're going to make, fasting and prayer gives clearer insight. If you're looking at relocation, God will give light if you fast and pray. So fasting and praying is something that ought to precede major decisions in your life. I mean, you know, folks, I told someone the other day, if I were the devil, you know what I'd do? I'd move you. Some of you folks getting too plugged in. I just move you. You know, you can go all up and down our street and find people that used to be in church, used to be serving the Lord, used to be happy, and they moved. They got a job promotion. They relocated down here to Florida. And they've been so good, they've been good for nothing ever since. They've never gotten plugged in like they were back where they came from. They left that church back there. They were working. They were serving. They were driving buses. They were teaching classes. They were serving God, giving generously to the work of the Lord. They've relocated, moved down here. They either don't go to church, or if they come to church, they are a shadow of what they once were. Some of you have joined Starlight. Bless your pea-picking hearts. You're used to bees. You used to do all this stuff. But we can get up and talk about it till the cows come home. You might have used to drive a bus, but you ain't going to drive one now. You used to work with the children's program, but you've graduated now to sitting. Now, if I were the devil, I'd move you. I'd just give you a job. You know, the devil told Jesus, he offered him all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus never one time challenged his ability to deliver. Satan is the prince of this world. He can deliver. He can give you any job he wants. Now, if I got up here and I told y'all, folks, listen, I love you, and I just hate this so bad, but there's a church offered me more money. And, you know, I got to do what's best for my family. You would lose respect for me just like that. Well, I want to tell you, if all it takes for you to move and leave is money, I don't have the respect for you that I thought I had. You ought to be about more than that. Amen? Now, I realize we've got families to take care of and we got things to do. But don't you ever take lightly, if God is moving your heart, that's no thing to mess with. Stay, don't stray. Say that with me. Stay, don't stray. At the very least, before you make a move that's going to detach you from where you've been growing, you need to spend some real time in prayer and fasting. Amen? So, notice then, fasting and prayer gives us clearer insights into the making decisions. All right? Notice number 7. Fasting and prayer brings better health. Fasting and prayer brings better health. Look at verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Fasting and prayer bring better health. Better health. It's not always God's will to heal. Scripture makes that clear. But the Bible teaches us that there is an association, there is a connection with fasting and praying and health. And so the Bible teaches us that we ought to fast and pray. And God says that there will be a connection to having better health. Number 8, fasting and prayer helps to live a more righteous and influential life. Fasting and prayer help to live a more righteous and influential life. Look at verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. Thy righteousness. In other words, the influence that your life spiritually will have on others. The Bible teaches there is a connection between fasting and praying and the power of your life and the righteousness of your life and the effect of your life and perhaps the downrange of your life, on your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones, your close friends. The Bible connects fasting and praying with having a more righteous and influential life. And then number 9. Fasting is for God's protection against Satan. Fasting is for God's protection against Satan. Look at what it says in verse 8. It says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, thine health shall spring forth speedily, thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." So God is going to, the reward of God is His protective hand around your life. There is the protection against the enemy, that of Satan. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. This is the story of Jesus healing this demon-possessed boy. The apostles were not able to do so, though they were given a special apostolic power. They were able to perform miracles. But they brought this boy, possessed by demons, and they were unable to deliver him. So look at what it says in verse 14. "And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him, a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on me, for have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic.'" Every parent feels that way at some point in your life. He said, "He is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation." Now, he wasn't talking about the father or his son. He was talking about his disciples. "How long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? What have I got to do to teach you?" He said, "Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind," talking about this boy that was possessed with demons, "this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." So from this we learn, number 9, fasting is for God's protection against Satan. Let's bow our heads tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. Fasting is a very personal expression between you and your God. And there will be times in your life when God will lead you to fast. Times when God will show you that is what you need to do, not in order to get hold of God, but so God can get hold of you. Fasting is a way of excluding other things that matter so much to us. Fasting is a way of getting control of our own flesh. And fasting is a way of seeking God's will so that we can focus on His spiritual purpose in our life. Tonight, in the moment as we stand, maybe you have never fasted before. Could I challenge you tonight to just do what God says and give that a try? And I think you will find that there's something that God does in your life through our willingness to deny ourselves that we do not experience any other way. In a moment when I say stand, if God's speaking to your heart about something in your life, or maybe you just need to come and pray, Whatever that need is, when I say stand, would you come? Let's stand. Would you come tonight?